Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Woo woo.
Hi, Julie. I'm Christine Marie.
Yes, you are. You're my mama.
I'm your mama.
And that means I'm your daughter.
But we're so much more than that, aren't we?
Right. We're yaya girls.
Yeah.
Because I was a yaya girl. Do, do, do,
do, do, do. Back in France in the 60s.
Woohoo.
It was also wonderful.
Wonderful.
We all had groovy shoes and looked real cool.
Real cool. Yeah, I love that song.
I do too.
I love that song.
I just smile every time I hear it.
And so it's so us, isn't it? Our avatar. If I had an avatar in the world.
It would be.
A yeah, yeah girl.
It would be a yeah, yeah girl.
Is it yeah, yeah or yeah, yeah?
I was a yeah, yeah girl. I guess yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going to have a great show today. And by the way, you're a certified.
Certifiable.
You're just certifiable.
As you've told me many times.
Well, hello, everyone. We're just Christine Marie and Julie. We're your mother, daughter. Yeah, we're
life optimization coaches.
Certified Law Attraction coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm a former teacher. And we like to bring joy to the world.
You bet. And we're just kind
of... In a fun way. In a goofy way.
Yeah.
Because sometimes life is taken way too seriously.
We take it way too seriously.
Especially during this political season.
Cray, cray.
And today we're going to have some
cray,
fun.
Cray, cray.
We're going
I need a vacay from all the cray, cray.
I don't know if this is true, and sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and House is on TV, which we're writing a book about sleep,
right?
And I know it's a big no-no, and I've just been resisting having my TV go off. It's like my nightlight and my background sound, and so I end
up... But you can do so much more and still leave your little TV on.
Yes, a little TV on, yeah.
But 56-inch TV.
Yeah. However, I woke up in the middle of the night and House was on, and if I'm not mistaken... House and his buddy, I can't remember his buddy's name, he's the oncologist. And the oncologist goes, well, what are you doing on a Friday night anyway? You're either watching PBS or porn. And the reason why I laughed at that and is because today I want to talk about things I learned on PBS.
Oh, thank God. Because I was going to talk about porn. The things I've learned from porn.
Just out of the clear blue sky, Mom, what did you learn from porn this week? I know. Okay, I'll let that go. I'll let that slide.
Yeah, because I just know a lot of produce.
Yeah. Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, hello?
Anybody there?
No.
Are you there?
No.
Speaking of House... You know, I am really enjoying The Night Manager that's on A&E, and I don't know House's name, but do you
Hugh
know
Laurie?
Hugh Laurie, yeah.
Yes.
He's the star of The Night Manager on A&E. He's executive producer. I don't know if he's... it's a John Le Carré novel, and I used to love him.
Now you still can.
And now I still can, yeah. But he's doing... It's a six-part series. And
you may be behind because thank goodness we have Dish and we have a recorder, a DVR.
We have the Hopper.
Yeah, and that always is helpful.
Thank God, yes.
Because I like to do things in, I like to binge on it. I don't like to wait a whole week.
Right.
The Walking Dead I like to watch live, you know, and the talk and the
dead zombies you like to watch live.
Yes, because I can watch The Talking Dead and feel free to watch The Talking Dead and so forth.
Right.
But with those things, a six-part series, I want to watch them in a couple of days. I want to get
it
all taken in.
I like to, I like to get, I look forward to it.
Yeah.
You might
do two episodes on a Saturday night.
Yeah, Daddy and I do an episode or two on a Saturday night. And
right.
It really is awesome. So even though we usually do movie reviews, I'm doing a TV review.
Okay, well, hold on, because I really haven't set the whole story up yet.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No, so Mama's going to do a review on The Night Manager.
Well, I did try to get Julie to tell me, say, Julie, what are we going to talk about today? And she goes, I'm not telling you.
No, I said I would
gonna
tell you.
You're going to be surprised. Oh, yeah, when it happens.
But we're going to have a little talk about some PBS-like stuff I want to share. Mom's going to do a great review on The Night Manager, and I'll add my 2 cents to it. And then we're going to have Elliot's Corner. talking about Elliot again, what we've learned from him this week.
Everything in life you can learn from your doggy.
Seriously, you definitely can. Mm-hmm. And then we got a great interview today. We interviewed Chris Luck when I was in San Diego about a month ago for the Frank Kern convention. Or I don't even call it a convention.
It was a convention.
It was
darling.
A convention of Frank Kern.
I would say seminar.
There you go. Seminar. 2-day seminar. Mama gave me one job. Well, you gave me a couple jobs. But you said one major job. I want you to interview Chris Luck. Now, he's out of my, you know, we're not in our circle.
He's not on our radar.
No, but you said.
I just had a wild hair that I needed to interview him.
Right. And so I had to make sure I went out of my way, out of my comfort zone to get into this guy's field a little bit. And I did.
He was elusive.
Yes, he was elusive. He also was a pal of Frank Kern's. I mean, he was part of that group. And you don't want to be stalky, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be stalky, but
there's that fine line between stalking and
appreciating. Yeah, and like, hey, I got a show. Can I interview you for 15 minutes? And he said, yes, let's do it tomorrow during the break. And I said, done. I go, I'll have everything ready. You'll just walk out and we'll spend 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it was a great interview because the question I asked him was about, tell me about your failure. And typically,
which is
business,
so funny because his last name is Luck.
Yes. And I wanted to ask him, is that your real last name? And mm-hmm. I didn't, mm-hmm. but that's okay. Because what a great name, Chris Luck.
Yeah.
You know,
just call me Christine Marie Millionaire.
Yeah, please do that.
Yeah,
that'd be
that's
awesome.
My real name.
I'm going to start calling you that, or just Rich.
Yeah,
yeah, Christine Marie Rich.
Yes, yes, Christine Marie Wealthy.
Wealthy. That's it. So I asked him about his failure, and he kind of gave me a take on it mm-hmm. and why he's been so successful. Because he's a very successful marketer, cool guy on Facebook, Chris Luck, and
Also from Illinois.
And that's why one of the reasons why you wanted to.
By the rivers gently flowing, Illinois.
Yes.
I don't know the rest of it.
And during the time when this was all going down, we were in a rivalry between, he's a St. Louis fan, hockey, and I'm a Chicago fan.
Well, that's because he's from Southern Illinois.
Right. And they beat us, but that's okay. Yeah. We'll let that fly. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about that a little bit, about failing. That's going to be in our pillar talk. So
yay.
We got a lot going on today, girlfriend.
Whoa.
And we're going to get right to it after 7 minutes in, but into our show. But I also want to say, hey, check us out on Facebook now at Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Yeah.
Love to hear more. We're posting every day, doing fun stuff. And
make sure you like us.
And please like us.
Oh, please
like
me.
It always sounds so desperate.
I know, it does.
Please like us, or you really, really like me.
You really,
thank you.
Really like
thank
me.
Thank you, Face. Thank you, people from BBS Radio.
Yeah.
Love to hear from you on Facebook.
And they can also email us, people.
Yes, you can. At support.
Support.
At ChristineMarieAndJulie.com.
That's right.
And so forth. All right, so.
Check out our blog at ChristineMarieAndJulie.com. .com.
So we've got all the specifics out there.
Wow.
We're having a good time now. Yeah. We're back into the, we're focused.
Tell me about PBS, darling.
Okay. And so PBS, and I should have been more clear because also I think it was on BBC. And I count BBC nighttime similar to PBS, except BBC has commercials.
BBC, PBS, Nat Geo.
Yes, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so.
And what's the Fido channel?
Fido TV.
The Fido channel. That's a new one for me. I'm going to, you know.
Well, and I can talk about Fido channel as well. So what, okay, so first off, I want to say we have a really pretty strong goal plan for the next 90 days, year, year and a half, 2 years. You know, we do, don't we?
Yes, we do.
We kind of have a really strong one.
We do.
And then something just percolated in me, and it was this thing from BBC, and it was a show about the weirdest things, you know, in the world. Mm-hmm. And what this was this idea that, first off, this little 10-year-old girl, or a little, actually younger than, like, 7-year-old girl, gets gifts from these crows every day. Like, literally, these crows come to her and drop trinkets at her feet.
Oh, my gosh.
And this happens all the time. And it's actually a thing called gifting. Crows are actually the one bird or one of the few birds that do gifting. And
OMG.
And I thought to myself, now, on the way home, we were together the other
day. Yes, yesterday.
I saw a crow near in our yard, yes. And I rolled my window down, and I said, hey, crow, how you doing? I got food over there for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, I'll tell you more about that later, Mama.
When we do our show. And now I know.
I would love to be gifted by crows. I just think that would be awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's what's going on. Crows are like one of the smartest birds because their brain is so big compared to their body. I mean, mm-hmm. they have a big brain for the size of their body. And
interesting, because they have big bodies.
Yes, and they are known to use tools. Mm-hmm. And so they remember faces. They can remember people and faces.
Oh, my gosh.
And they've been known that if they realize that you're feeding them, they can't, and then, or you've helped one of their pack out, you know, like they got hurt or something, then you brought them back to life, you know, or helped them out, you
right.
know. They've been known to get into a thank you note or a gratitude phase and start gifting you things. And the interesting thing is with this girl, they used to start gifting her with like pebbles and rocks. And now literally it's jewelry. She literally is getting like an earring. Or
where are they finding these things?
Anywhere.
Yeah.
Probably off of somebody else's
ear.
Ouch,
that
like,
would
what
hurt.
The hell happened,
yeah, exactly.
You know? But they're talking to a scientist and they said, this is so interesting because the more they gift her, the more human-like the gifts are becoming.
Julie, this is freaking me out.
It's totally awesome, right?
Yes.
Now, she does feed the crows. And
we feed crows.
We feed birds.
We feed birds.
And I don't think our bird food is appropriate for crows. I do not know what they eat because it looked like she had these flat trays in her backyard.
Oh.
Made of wood, and they had bigger pieces of food in it.
Well, we can definitely Bing or Google that.
Yeah,
what do
Bing
crows
or Google?
Eat?
Did you say Boogle?
Boogle it. We can Boogle it.
But wouldn't that just be kind of a sweet thing to your life?
Yes.
If you...
I absolutely want to do this
yeah.
right now.
Now, the scientists
right
didn't
now.
Say that it was bad for the crows to,
no.
to be
to bond?
Yeah.
We used to remember last year the crows would come 2 times a day. They'd come at 8 in the morning.
Yes.
And then they'd come around 4 or 5.
Right.
And there was a group of them.
Yeah. They didn't... And they didn't never gifted us anything.
No.
So maybe they also feel like a little kid is more... you know,
is she have to be present for them to gift?
Well,
do you see what
yes
I'm saying?
And no.
Okay.
A lot of times they'll just, she goes, this just, they just dropped this on my foot. You know, this crow just dropped this on my foot. And
right.
it was an earring, but what it was a plastic squid, like a kid's earring. And it was the shape of a squid. Isn't that cute? And she literally keeps all of her gifts in these like button containers,
mm-hmm.
you know, for crafts. And so she just keeps all of her gifts. And she must have like 7 or 8 of these containers full of gifts that their crows are giving her. Like, and they said there's only about 30 or 40 incidences that they know of this happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, well, those are pretty mm-hmm. harsh odds. But just the idea that we could, you know, kind of start having a really relationship with crows would be kind of fun.
Oh, I love that. You know, what this reminds me, and I have no idea why, but remember we interviewed that orb lady?
Yes.
She wrote the orb book. And,
yes.
I can't think of her name, though, Susan something.
Yeah.
But we were interviewing her, and she said that she would go out at night and take pictures of these orbs, which she thought were souls. And that were, you know.
And her son had passed away before
correct.
This.
Right.
And she really felt that these orbs, and I was just now looking at my bookcase to see if I could find her book. And right off the hand, I can't.
Okay.
Which means I probably put it in a box because we were clearing clutter away. And it wasn't
yes.
clutter, but I have my most recent books in my
yes,
bookcase.
Yeah.
And
it was a
different
beautiful
book. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
And
yeah.
it still might be here. I'm just not
yeah.
saying it. But I'll put it in our blog.
Yes.
But yes, and she thought it was her son talking to her.
Right.
And so she would go out with her cellular phone, and she would go out, and she would just take these pictures at night. And these beautiful orbs
gorgeous,
would show up.
Gorgeous, gorgeous.
And
orbs.
Each one was slightly different and gorgeous and yeah. detailed. And it wasn't the reflection of the light. I mean, you could say one or two, but I'm telling you, these pictures were just
right.
filled with it.
And I remember that after we interviewed her and the show was over, I said, Julie, let's go out on the porch
yes.
and let's see
yes.
what orbs are out there for us.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And we got some.
We did. It was awesome.
We didn't get as many as she did.
No.
But we got some.
Yeah, that was cool. And I kind of said,
that's
yeah.
kind of a gift, right?
It was a very
that's
cool
a gifting
gift.
Of orbs. We've got the gifting of the crows,
mm-hmm.
and now we've got the gifting of the orbs. We'll have to remember what her name is.
We'll find out. Yeah. Because now that I'm thinking about that, I loved her book.
I think it was Susan somebody. Susan Kennedy? No, I don't know. No.
We'll find it.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that was a gift.
Yes.
That was awesome. And then this other thing I was hearing about. Now, I've heard about this before, and I put it back in my memory, like, oh, don't forget that. That's a pretty cool fact. And then I forgot about it because I heard it again, I think, on BBC. And it was this idea. Okay, here's, we know the Amazon basin, right? Amazon forest, lots and lots of trees. It helps, it's really an ecosystem that we need to have.
Is it like a rainforest?
The rainforest, mm-hmm. Yes. We need to have this thriving, right?
Right. But, they get like drugs and stuff too from those plants. Okay, right.
Every year during the rainy season, all the phosphorus that is on the ground that's needed for fertilizing, it runs off into the ocean or runs off into the rivers, into the front of the ocean because of the heavy rains. So each year, the rainforest loses all its phosphorus, which is just not right. It mm-hmm. needs it. Mm-hmm. But they still have more phosphorus. And scientists couldn't figure out, well, where is the phosphorus coming from?
The new stuff?
Yes.
Okay.
And then they finally did. They actually have proof of this. Do you know where it's coming from?
Monkey poop?
No, you're close.
If I really?
Not really. Kind of.
I was thinking, what is there a lot of in the rainforest in quantity?
Yes.
I was thinking, think
of the total opposite of the rainforest.
The desert?
The Sahara Desert.
Brings them phosphorus?
Yes. So what happens, the Sahara Desert, right?
It blows?
Arid years, I don't know how long, but there used to be this big, huge lake years and years and years and years and years, years ago. I can't remember how many, because I do know hundreds of years ago.
The desert used to be a lake.
In part of the Sahara, there was this big, huge lake.
Okay.
And in that big, huge lake, there used to be animals that were thriving, and they would die, and their body would break down. And so as this whole area just dried up and became just arid, completely, they said 35 degrees Celsius is their average temp in the summer, which I don't know what that is because I'm American and I don't know that. But really, really hot, okay? Probably 130 degrees in the summer. I don't mm-hmm, know. Mm-hmm. Or the dead daylight, whatever. I don't want to sound too uneducated here, but anyway, so
are too American. We don't know anything about Canada.
Celsius.
Is that our neighbor to the
north?
I might be.
So anyway,
Canada.
The sand there is so filled with nutrients and minerals.
Wow.
So, and it also is very windy there,
right?
And because it's all fine and desert, the wind immediately takes up all this
sand.
And I've got a fact here on my little trusty phone. Okay, so the phosphorus runs off during the rain season in the Amazon basin. Now, 182 million tons of dust from the Sahara Desert is blown up into the atmosphere from the wind. 182 million tons. Now, most of that falls into the ocean as it crosses the ocean. But 30 million tons of that dust falls into the Amazon basin.
Oh.
And 22,000 tons of that is phosphorus.
22,000 tons. Okay.
Now we know, because when my dad would take sand, a whole trailer load of sand up to Michigan, that weighs 50,000 pounds. That's what legally we could hold. Mm-hmm. That's 25 tons.
Mm-hmm.
So now,
22,000
tons.
Wow.
Okay, we're looking at 1,000 truckloads, or 10,000 truckloads, possibly. I don't know, but a lot, a lot. But that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, this is when I go, God's cool.
Yeah.
That's how
I think of it too.
I mean, the plant is taking care of itself.
Right.
Is it just a coincidence? Is it God's divine plan? I mean, here's an issue.
It's not a coincidence.
How can it be?
No.
Or is it just the way it survived? If this didn't happen, the Amazon wouldn't survive, and we'd be really screwed.
Yes.
But come on. I mean, this is, I don't know. I just find it mind-blowing.
It's pretty amazing.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, listen, the idea of all this sand coming from a far distance to land in the in the Amazon rainforest, it's a lot cooler than my version of monkey poop.
Well, yes, it is. But then you realize the truth is your monkey poop is not far from the truth, because those dead monkeys over in the desert years and years ago, I don't know if they were monkeys, but animals and fish that died in that lake.
And left phosphorus.
Left phosphorus helps take care of it, you know? So I was just very fascinated by
that. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And then the other thing
So what's our gift from that? So we've got the gift of the crows. We've got the gift of the orb, and now we have the gift of the sands, the shifting, glowing sands.
And that leads us to the gift of the Amazon. Without this Sahara Desert, we wouldn't have the Amazon. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah. That's pretty amazing.
And just think about this. If it wasn't for, I don't know who invented Amazon, we wouldn't have Amazon.
You couldn't buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
You couldn't
buy. With a one-step buy button.
Yeah.
You know? So go to Amazon.com.
Oh, Jill, what a long way, but it was worth it.
And buy our book, The Clutterfly Effect.
Tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. Thank you, by people, for supporting us.
Yes, thank you for supporting us. Boom, there it was.
Boom.
And then the other thing I want to talk about, because we're another thing I learned, I don't know where I learned it from this week, but, you know, there is that condition out there that some people have, that they have a hard time recognizing people's faces. Mm-hmm. Like, they may meet you, they may meet me, and then they may meet us again, and they wouldn't be able to determine who was who.
Yeah, I've heard of that before.
If they don't have an aha moment where they realize, like, oh, I am different than somebody else, they may never realize they have this condition. And so they were saying that 1 in 50 may have a kind of a moderate to severe case of this disease, which I find amazing, that odds. 1 in 50? That's pretty.
So you should look up on the computer what this disease is called.
Yeah, I thought I might have written it down, but I didn't.
Okay.
But the one thing I thought was very interesting about this is that what... I was trying to figure it out. My phone, and the phone rang. Got me. But our brains are wired to see faces everywhere. And you know how it is. You'll see a sign and you go, oh my God, it looks like a face. Or you see, you know, like if you look at an appliance, you can kind of see like the two knobs or an eye, and there's always faces everywhere,
like,
you see.
Like the man in the moon.
Yeah.
Or in the clouds.
Everywhere we see faces. And they're saying the reason why is our brain is hardwired to, do you know why?
Recognize our own children?
No, to recognize people that might kill us or eat us. You know,
predators.
We would be the prey, and they would be the predators. So we need to be able to distinguish what is, you know, what could harm us, and to really engage the flight mechanism or not. And so I thought that was so interesting, because I see faces all over the place. I see faces in our drywall, you know.
Drywall?
You know, well, like above our, that's a little scary. But, you know, we have I guess you call it a bark technique up above in
our
ceiling.
Right, on our ceiling.
And sometimes you can go, oh, I see a face.
Yeah, I see that. I see it in our carpeting.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
I'll see a face.
Yeah.
And that's designed for us to recognize
Way back
friends
when.
Or foes.
Yes. Because if you don't recognize it as some, because everything that typically is a foe has a face of some kind. And so if you don't, if you can't easily recognize faces, how are you going to figure out if you should run or not?
Well, I mean, but even your friends have faces, though.
Right, but that's why you're supposed to recognize it and determine which was a good face and which is a bad face, I guess. I don't know. But that was just very interesting. But then I also found it interesting that these people who can't do that, they can't even recognize their own kids. I mean,
That's why I said.
It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah.
I wonder
if that's how Facebook got so important.
Well, it's interesting because I wrote
Check us out on Facebook.
Yes. at Christine, Marie, and Julie. Yes, go there. Good job, Bob.
Recognize our faces on Facebook.
Oh, you're just on fire today, kiddo, for heaven's sake. But I wrote that down because I specifically, we're writing a book on stress.
Right.
We wrote a book on sleep. We're in the process of completing that on Kindle. And we're writing a book on stress.
Right.
And I wrote that down because...
I agree.
It's a stress response.
You were talking about the fight or flight syndrome,
yes.
And that's important.
It's important. So I just thought it was an interesting tidbit.
Do you remember a while ago we were writing our book, and I said there was the fight or flight syndrome, but I also added in a third one, and I can't remember what it is now.
Was it being paralyzed?
It might be.
Yeah.
Flight or fight or being paralyzed.
So what's an F word for that?
Yeah,
falling asleep. No.
Yeah, there was an F word.
Yeah.
I can't remember it now. I'll have to find it. But that was, I created that.
Yes, you did.
It was the third response.
That. There was a time when I was a little kid, I swear, I heard something under my bed, and it was not pleasant. It wasn't like a little mouse. It was something.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being so afraid.
That you were paralyzed.
I couldn't do anything.
Right.
And then I woke up the next morning, thank God. I'm here. Thank you. But I couldn't yell for you. I couldn't move. And I couldn't fight. I literally was paralyzed.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there is such a thing as sleep paralysis, though.
Yes. No, I've had that, too. That's not good. I don't like that.
And that was different than what you're saying?
Yes, because I was awake when it happened.
Oh, okay.
And then I naturally,
somehow
I survived the night. I don't know how.
You should have screamed out for mama.
I couldn't, though. Remember?
I was
paralyzed.
You're paralyzed.
I would have. I couldn't fight. I couldn't flight. I couldn't scream. I was paralyzed from fear. But then I woke up. I'm guessing. I don't know.
Okay.
It was a long time ago, so I don't know exactly what happened in between.
Right.
But I do remember that split image of me being like, what the hell was that noise? I'm so scared.
Oh, my sweetie. Okay.
And then I woke up sometime.
Okay.
But it wasn't a dream. I was not asleep yet.
Gotcha.
So now I want to move into talking about the night manager and give you a review.
Okay.
We talked a little bit about in the beginning.
Right.
Then we'll move into Elliot's Corner and then finally Pillar
Talk.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I wasn't planning on giving it a review, but the night manager, I believe it's on A&E, and there are 6 episodes, and I think the last one is coming up or not. But
right.
I've watched them all, and it's really quality. You know, it's a British because of Hugh
Laurie.
Now
I'm watching it too, and one thing I love about this show is that when I'm watching it, I feel warm.
When I'm watching it, I feel transported away to
yes.
these other countries.
For sure.
And
it's happening in Europe.
Yeah,
happening in
I just
Middle
feel
East.
Trans.
Yeah.
And so I literally, after I'm done watching it, I feel like I've been someplace.
For sure.
And it's just good quality writing. It's just awesome. So I can, you know, I don't
do
book
reviews. So
let's say
that we do reviews. And, you know, there's a picture of us on Facebook right now in our little Sherpa hats.
Right.
And so let's say 4 Sherpas is a good thing and 1 Sherpa hat is a bad thing.
Right.
How many Sherpa hats would you give it?
I'd give it 4 Sherpa hats, girl.
I may have to work on that.
I think
scale,
so, too.
It's not flowing around.
I mean, it could be so bad that you take a dump in your Sherpa hat.
Oh. It's not that. It's not that.
No, it's good.
It's a 4 Sherpa hat.
That's good. 4 Sherpa hat.
Okay,
day.
Good. Yeah. Just confirming. All right, cool. Okay, I'm glad. Thank you for sharing your view. I love it,
you're
too.
You're quite welcome.
I give it 4 Sherpa hats as well. And you can always, you know, go on. I think it's also on, if you have Dish, I'm sure if you have anything else, you can go on to, I think it's on A&E.
Yes, A&E.
Go on A&E and you could just download it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't this amazing?
On demand.
On demand.
Yeah, because it
this
is quality.
Is amazing. Yes. Good quality. Mm-hmm. Do it and so forth. So now, are you ready for a little Elliot's Corner?
You bet.
I once had a dog, or should I say, he once had me. Welcome to Elliot's Corner.
All right.
Talking about Elliot's Corner today. Now, we heard last week, it was a very sad week because
yes.
our little dog got kicked out of daycare.
You know, I'm still a little numb over the fact that he no longer can go to doggy daycare.
Yes.
He could tell. I don't know how, but he could tell when it was one of his
time
2
for,
days
yes.
to go. Well, we, first of all, we'd wash his face.
Yes.
And,
we had a ritual for
we
him.
We had a ritual. Wash his face.
Got
we'd
him ready.
Brush him. Got him ready. And then we got his little chair ready that he could look out the window so that when the van comes, picks him up, he's all ready. I mean, it was the sweetest thing. And, you know, I couldn't get, when you guys were so young, I couldn't give you guys piano lessons or anything like that because we were.
But we didn't need him because, like, Gregory taught himself how to play the guitar.
That's right.
And the piano.
I take a little pride in being able to give my little guy a good life.
So you're trying to tell me that you're, in some ways, you're reliving our childhood through our dog.
Yes.
So all the things, areas
that I couldn't give you kids.
So it's sort of like those parents who have an adult child and then they get pregnant again. You know, they had one when they were 19 years old, and then at the age of 39, they have another kid. And they're like, I'm going to make sure that this kid gets everything I couldn't give my first kid.
Right.
Yeah. That's Elliot. All right.
That's Elliot for me. And so it has been sad. But it's been nice than the fact that Linda still invites him over to her house.
Yes.
And she has a
thank you, God. I mean, I can't believe that she is in our life. I'm just so blessed because here she is. She takes Elliot, she said, twice a week.
Right.
Because they just get along with her dog so much.
She's got three or four.
No, she's got four dogs.
Right.
So it's not like one more added to the group is a big deal.
No,
And
they're all buddies.
And they're all buddies. And she said that he's just no problem.
Right.
So that makes me feel good. And it makes me feel like maybe, you know, we went to training the other day last night. And I was telling our trainer, like, what was going down. And she goes, you know what? Don't worry about it. It could just be that it's just too long of a day for him,
mm-hmm.
and there's just too many dogs. I mean, if
there's
30 dogs.
It is too long of a day. She picks him up, or she used to, like at 10, and would drop him off sometimes 6:30, 7.
Yeah.
And, of course, 3 hours of that is
driving
transport time. Yeah. But he's a guy that he's not even two yet, and he has a hard time measuring out his strength.
Right.
He'll just, like, give it full bore burnout.
All the time.
Yeah. And then it collapsed.
Yes. And so he may just not feel comfortable enough to collapse and get breaks. And so she just kind of put me, you know, she just said, relax. Don't worry about this. I know Elliot. He's a good dog.
Yeah. Don't feel so bad about it.
Don't feel so bad about it. And the reason why he got kicked out was because one staff in particular felt uncomfortable because if he got into a little bit of a scruffle with another dog, she'd pull him away and he would, like, snap at her.
Right.
And we are aware that he does
do that.
But he never bites anybody.
He's never bitten anybody.
And so I'm not afraid of him.
No.
But I guess if somebody
I'm not
else,
either.
They could be afraid, I mm-hmm. guess.
And, you know, even though Elliot, we'll put a picture of him up on Facebook because he's a darling doggy. But his breed is I think they're like rat eaters.
Yes.
And so he doesn't, like Charlie Ray, our border collie, he had the most beautiful teeth.
Yes.
I mean, they were just, beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And Elliot doesn't, he did have angel teeth. Mm-hmm. They really were angel teeth. But Elliot's teeth are not beautiful.
In the sense, they're very scary.
They're scary looking. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like terrier teeth.
So that's right then. That's the breed.
Yeah.
But so if he snaps at you and he shows you those things, not only they're not attractive, they are a little bit scary,
right?
Because they have like fangs or something. Would you call them? Or
I mean, he has a big canines. Those canine teeth, right there.
Right. Yeah.
They're just scary looking.
Yeah.
They're just more scary than the border collie's teeth.
Yeah. We used to say angel teeth.
Yes.
For Charlie Ray.
But yeah. So I can see that, and I, you know, we've taken him out now, and it's nice because she lets us go pick up her dogs to take him out with Elliot in the daytime.
Right.
And I just feel blessed that we have these unconventional life, which is most people now, right?
Right.
No one works 9 to 5.
Right.
I mean, a few people do, but they work 10 to, you know, just these varied hours.
Yes.
That we are allowed to have these different lives. And in the daytime, you can pick up your dog and
Isn't
take him out
sweet?
The dog. It is sweet.
So she lives on a cul-de-sac in our complex. And the house across, there's only two houses in this.
Yes.
Hers and another one. And that one's for sale. And we were like, if we bought that house, sold our house, lived there, and it would just be us, the doggies, all the doggies.
And we'd put like a gate between all of us. They can just run around free then.
It was just like, wouldn't that be great
wouldn't
to give your
sweet?
Doggy
yes.
that?
Well, yes, the child that you haven't had.
So this would be our takeaway with the things that, you know, a thing that you learn from your dog.
Yes.
Is that?
Well, and
sometimes there's do-overs.
Sometimes there are do-overs. And sometimes too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And like for him at daycare, mm-hmm. it was too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
And he couldn't handle the energy, couldn't negotiate at all, mm-hmm. needed a shorter amount of that time. And every time I take him to the dog park, he's been great. And so
He's lovely.
So too much of a good thing is not a good thing. And that's there what I've go. Learned from my dog this week.
There you go.
There's my Elliot's
Thank you,
corner.
Elliot.
And now are you ready for a little pillar talk?
Sure am.
All right, everyone, here is our pillar talk. We're going to do an interview today with Chris Luck. I've got it recorded, so we're going to plug it in.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's recorded because it was done in San Diego.
You know, through the miracle of technology, what did the Amazon rainforest have to do with that, I want to know?
Probably everything.
Probably.
We don't even know. We can't figure it out yet. We haven't renewed our mind enough, but it's all there. It's all been created. Mm-hmm. Now we just have to discover it all. I mean, it's pretty cool. So I want to talk a little bit about failure because F-A-I-L, to fail. We like to call it forge ahead
in leverage.
Yes.
Because every fail makes you smarter.
Gives you more leverage, builds right. grit. And I love the truth of the matter is the people that you admire who are successful, they may have more successes than you. However, they have a ton more failures than you do also. And we must get comfortable with failure. And so I also wanted to talk about during this time this idea that going with your passion helps you put the odds in your favor with success.
Like, right. Okay.
Because a lot of times we do something thinking like we go out for the money. We'll hear a commercial saying, you know, are you tired of being broke? Well, I can teach you how to do this and make this kind of money and make $20,000 a month in your first month. And
was that at Trump University?
It could have been. And all I'm going to do is charge you $35,000 to do it. But in that first month, even you're going to make that money back.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to make that money back. But you may not have passion for it. One example from our past is that we tried to do stock trading years ago.
Gosh, this was years ago.
A decade ago, maybe.
I know.
We did all the coursework. We had our plan engaged.
Yes.
We did it for like 2 or 3 days.
I think it was a week.
We were effed up.
We were nauseous. I was a nervous wreck.
And we were watching the ticker up, the ticker down.
For like 5 minutes every morning or 10 minutes.
Yes, but even then for the course of the day, because you have to put your plan in action when you're going to sell.
Right.
And
it was horrible.
It was horrible. And we tried so hard because we had studied and got our plan of attack and we had our money set aside to do this.
We did not have the wherewithal. We did not have the grit.
What's the Spanish word for testicles?
Cojones.
Yes.
Or cojones.
Yeah. Cojones.
Maybe. Yeah, cojones.
I was going to say cuervos, but...
Cuervos. Those are eggs. I guess.
My little ovaries aren't big enough for that. No.
You don't have the ovaries for it, Julie.
Exactly. I know. My ovaries.
But you have the balls for
it. Yeah, I have the cojones for it. So, yeah. And we just couldn't do it. We thought we had the passion, but we really wanted the money. But our who we were at our soul being could not take it.
No. I think, thank God, because I think, remember the book a long time ago, Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow?
Yeah.
I really think that still holds true today.
Yes.
Because if I think that as we're studying, you know, writing this new book on stress, when you realize if you're in it for the, I'm going to say the wrong reasons.
Right.
Like, all I do is need to make money. You're going to find people that are doing the same thing that you are, but they're meant to be doing it.
Yes.
And they're so much better at it.
And they're so much better.
That you end up like, what? How did that happen?
And that's what Chris Luck is going to talk about a little bit because, you know, his first time out in the gate, he's a great marketer and he does a lot through membership sites. And his first thing he did was a success. And it was a membership site on marketing.
Big
success, huge. And so he's like, well, this is awesome. Why can't I double it and do other niches? And he really wanted to do weight loss because that's a big field, right? And he said it just didn't do as well as he had hoped. He said, well, I realized I didn't have the passion for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is, you got to negotiate the failures because, mm-hmm. you know, they happen to everybody.
Right.
And if you're out there more trying things, they're going to happen to you more often.
Right.
Especially if you're in that genius mode or entrepreneur mode where you're creating something from scratch, from nothing. You know, there are people out there that have, you know, they're plugged into a field and a path themselves. Like if you're a teacher, mm-hmm. you're plugged into this one path. Mm-hmm. And if you get tenure and you get your PhD, and then maybe you can become maybe you want to become a vice principal, and there's a path for that. But as long as you do your job, there's a path for you to go and have the increase. And over the long term, you can really achieve your goals if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But if you're creating something from nothing, you're out there, you're really like an explorer. Mm-hmm. You don't know what's going to hit, what's going to take, and so you're going to make mistakes all the time.
You know, and that's really true, and maybe we shouldn't call it failure, because I've heard Frank mm-hmm. Kern say, and I've heard other people now say, you know, take the time, you'll explore it, you'll get to know it, and eventually you'll crack the code. That's what I think we're looking for now. Yes. It's not so much failure and win, success. It's
staying in it long enough that you crack the code for yourself.
And it's just for yourself. It's a personal, I got the revelation.
And even though we talk about following a mentor who has the same success, you'll always find a different way that makes it more yours.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, I see that his way is good, mm-hmm. and here I can tweak it for me, and here mm-hmm. I can tweak it for me. Mm-hmm. But all along the way, you're getting comfortable with the a little bit of the pain of failure. So change it, throw it away. It's no longer about failure. Get used to it.
Crack the code, baby.
So let's listen to Chris Luck, and you can find him on Facebook at Chris Luck. All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, in one of our mini interviews. And I have the pleasure of being at the Frank Kern event in beautiful San Diego, California, or La Jolla, which I can't figure out, is that part of San Diego or is it not part of San Diego?
I think it's all the same.
All the same. It's just really beautiful and crazy gorgeous. And I'm here with Chris Luck today, amazing man and entrepreneur. And also internet marketer, if you don't mind saying that.
No, not at all.
And also from Illinois, which I'm from, Northern Illinois. And you're from Southern Illinois.
Yeah, I'm actually about 20 minutes outside of St. Louis, Missouri.
Okay. So. Yeah, my parents grew up in Belleville, Illinois.
Oh, yeah, that's 10 minutes from me.
Yeah.
So.
All right, cool. It's a very small world. Different compared to Northern Illinois, that's for sure.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not as cold, that's for sure. So what made you decide to become an internet marketer? Because that wasn't your initial field, was it?
No, I actually, I was in school at Southern Illinois University, okay. Edwardsville, and it was in 99, and I actually just needed to make some extra money while I was in college, and I went to Google when it was still in beta.
Wow.
And you actually went to Google and said Google beta, and I typed in, you know, make money. Uh-huh. I tried all these things, and tried a bunch of stuff. I fell into affiliate marketing, and that kind of, I just knocked it out of the park, and realized it was nice to be able to not have your own product and just drive traffic to other people's products. So then all you had to really learn about was marketing. So I spent my time at the bookstore when I wasn't in school just studying everything on marketing, went and found products I could promote as an affiliate, mm-hmm. and I did that for, well, I did it for about 6 months, and then I got kicked out of college because I quit going to school.
Oh, okay.
And so I never got my degree. I did affiliate marketing for about 7 years, mm-hmm. Full-time. And then 2007, it was late 2006, I decided, okay, you know, I'm ready for kind of a change. Mm-hmm. You know, I've learned so much, and then a lot of the books that I've been reading recently in 2006 were not very good. They weren't teaching good strategy, so I was like, okay, now I want to try this whole teaching thing. Mm-hmm. And that's when I kind of shifted gears and started marketing education and started teaching people about marketing, and not just affiliate marketing, but just everything, like paid marketing, free marketing, content marketing, everything that's required to not just be a successful affiliate mm-hmm. marketer, but just to really grow a business.
A lot of times when people are starting their own business, they have that one big fail. And a lot of times it stops them in their tracks. We like to say it's a forge ahead and leverage. You know, they go fail. Do you have one of those fails in your story?
You know,
one of the lucky ones that I don't have a fail?
It's actually, it's a funny you bring that up, because actually when in 2006 when I started my first site, it was I was doing things under a pen name because I had a business partner who was a copywriter. Mm-hmm. And it was his idea. He said, hey, you know, let's do a pen name, because I'm a private person. I don't like to. You'll never see me speak on stage or any mm-hmm. of that. I just like to, you know, stay quiet in Illinois. So The first site we did was actually it went on to do over $10 million in revenue. It was a membership site. We charged $97 a month, and I taught all things marketing all in one place for every week. I taught new stuff, and that went on. That did so well. I thought, man, this was so easy, too easy to build like an education website. Mm-hmm. So I actually went on this kind of a membership site rampage and started building membership sites in industries I had no business being in. So I got into like weight loss and self-help and personal development and yoga poses, all these things that I wasn't creating the content for. I was hiring people to create the content. And the next couple businesses that I started after my big success were all pretty much failures because they weren't me. It wasn't my passion. I was trying to just build businesses I wasn't really a part of, and so I kind of got away from education for a while, and then now I'm coming back into it.
Okay, and that's where your passion lies, and that's where your success really lies too.
Yeah,
you gotta love what you gotta do.
Yeah,
for sure.
You have to.
Exactly. So what is the one takeaway you're taking away from this conference? I'm sure it's been a pretty exciting conference.
The biggest takeaway from this conference is to, Frank specifically talked yesterday, he talked a lot about closing. So he had some really cool strategies for closing, because I'm not a salesperson. I don't like to sell anything to anyone. I don't like to be sold on anything. So I've always struggled with trying to get money from people. I mean, I've done well over the years, but it's because my education is so good.
Right.
I don't have to sell. But
That's a really good point. If you're giving good content and you're teaching people what they want to know and doing a great job, the selling is much easier.
Right. My close has always been like, hey, you know, I've taught because I do a lot of webinars. Every week I'll do a live webinar.
Just one of your membership sites or for different ones?
For all of them right now. So so basically my webinars, I'll teach for 98% of the time. And the very end, my close is literally, okay, what you just saw was like a snowflake on the tip of an iceberg. If you want everything under the water, here's my membership site. Here's what I got. Okay. Here's how much it is. And here's how it can help you. And it's like, so I need to get better at closing because that's not enough sometimes to really kind of get people interested. So that was a big takeaway here. But other than what I've learned from Frank, just coming to events, there's so many golden nuggets that just get dropped from people talking, you know, in the lobby. And anyone that ever goes to events on anything in your industry, you should always kind of spend more time outside in the lobby than you do in the event.
Oh, interesting.
It's just amazing the conversations you hear people have that are actually doing things, not getting paid to teach.
And don't be afraid to ask people for a little
not
question.
At all.
Because I was afraid, and I'm like, I'm going to ask Chris Luck just for a quick interview. And you said yes.
Oh, yeah.
So I was so grateful. Another thing is you are really big on membership sites. And on your Facebook page at Chris Luck, you talked about, you showed a food lunch ad for a membership site. Like, here, you can get it. You know, so don't be afraid of charging, you know, money for a membership site.
Right.
Here's this food company doing it. When a business is just starting out, should they go right away to try and do content for a membership site? Or what do you suggest for people who are just starting out in their coaching business or a different business?
Yeah, for people that are just starting out, I recommend don't go all in with a membership site. Don't start asking for money, especially if you're like me and it doesn't come natural anyway. Start with something that you feel comfortable doing with creating valuable content that's truly going to help people. For me, my most recent site and really my flagship that I'm going to be always spending probably at least the next 10 years on is Marketer's Paradise. And it's going to be it's not even open yet, but it started as a podcast 5 months ago. And I know it's going to be a membership site, but I wanted to start by just really over-delivering with content 3 days a week, teaching really good, actionable stuff to kind of build that brand loyalty and then get people really familiar with the brand. And then once I feel comfortable where, okay, this is really working, I've tested the waters, then I will introduce the paid side of things, which will be high-level courses and all of that, but they will all be behind. You just got to be a member.
So now, what would you think one of your success mantras would be? I mean, you're a pretty successful guy. You keep doing it. If you're going to tell someone who's really interested in business but hasn't jumped in or too afraid, what would you tell them?
Just really, really, and it's so as cliche as it sounds, like really follow your passion, because I've built 13 different membership sites since 2007, and all the only ones that were the most successful were the ones that I was passionate about, that were I was a part of, which was teaching marketing. And the businesses that I got into that I had no passion behind, but I was just kind of doing it for the money. Not only did I not enjoy building the businesses, but they just weren't really big successes. None of them really failed, but it wasn't. I didn't enjoy it. So I recommend always do what you love to do. And for me, it's education. And now I couldn't be in a happier place because now I get to come on podcasts like this and talk about marketing and things to really help people.
Great.
And that's what gets me up every morning.
Great. Well, thank you, Chris Luck, for coming here, Life the Girlfriends, and coming to this event, Frank Kern's event. We're basically done. And you go to marketersparadise.com for all your content there. And definitely go to Chris Luck on Facebook. A lot of great content there as well. And your podcast. You can get that at Marketers Paradise, your podcast?
If you just go to marketersparadise.com, you'll see all the podcast episodes there. If you're on iTunes, if you just type in Marketers, you'll see it pop up. And, I'm all over.
Great. Thank you so much,
Thank
Chris.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Perfect. Thank you so much.
That's the first, in-person interview.
All right, that was the interview with Chris Luck.
Yay!
Thank you for listening to that.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes, and he can go to his website too, chrisluck.com. But mostly, he's very active on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And Central Illinois or Southern Illinois, he's from.
Yes,
I have to say this: a very sweet man. You know, you can tell he loves his family on Facebook. I mean, he's got a real good vibe to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of his posts talked about, make sure you take care of the people that were with you before you had the success.
Right.
After you had the success.
Right.
You get that. You know what that means.
Right.
Because they knew you before, so there's not this, they know the real you.
Right.
They know all of you. And maybe you want to drop them. I don't know. They know y'all. There's a couple I want to drop. Like, please don't remember that about me. Please forget that. Have that erased from your memory. Yeah. But I just love this idea that go after your passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really decide.
Over the course of your life, you know, you could look back. And I heard Andy Cohen ask the two guests, I don't know their names, but one was the blonde hair girl on Two Broke Girls.
Right.
And the other one was the male star of that movie, Me Before You, that's just coming out. And he said, you got to pick poor and happy or rich and sad.
Mm-hmm.
And they both had to think about it.
Yes.
But ultimately they said, hey, poor and happy. And that's really the truth about finding your passion in life.
Yes.
And doing what you really love and what you're good at and what makes sense for you. Because you may not have the brass ring, you know, you may not, but you will be happier.
Exactly. Two things I want to say to that before we go. One is about poor and happy. When you said that, I had two visions in my mind, two stories. There is this one, we used to love that show, Destinations. It was on
Love
Esquire.
That show. Yes.
They were showing this family that was in Mongolia, and they raised reindeer.
Right.
And they all lived in a ute.
Right.
Is that right?
A yurt.
Yurt, thank you. Not yurt. Yurt. A yurt. Okay. Okay, I had a public education. No, anyway.
A Judaism.
Yes, thank
you. Look
at
those youths out there. Yeah. They're all in a circle.
I was thinking of my cousin Vinny at that time. I was invoking him.
Yeah, use youths.
But anyway, what I thought was interesting is that if you don't have that concept of rich and poor, they felt prosperous. They had a good herd.
Yes.
They had their kids. I think one mother was there, like the grandmother was there.
Yes.
And there was this 2-year-old kid or 3-year-old kid who was literally handling the baby reindeer.
Right.
You know, and pushing them around and riding them and feeding them and doing all the stuff he had to do with them. It was awesome.
That's darling.
I mean, and so here they are, they seemed happy.
They were happy.
They were happy. And then there's this other story. It was this couple that were living in Alaska, and
is this from Destinations?
No, different one altogether. Uh-huh. But they were basically focusing on people who chose to live off the grid completely.
Mm-hmm.
And it was two couples, and they had like a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old,
mm-hmm.
and they were living in Alaska. And I was just shocked how content they were. Mm-hmm. They have an internet connection. They have a satellite dish because they do blog work and stuff like that. But they live very, you know, they have a garden. Mm-hmm. They fish. But they just live off the land. Their kids are with them 24/7. Mm-hmm. They don't have a big place. Mm-hmm. And they're happy.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I mean,
what
feel
what is going on that we're so unhappy, you know?
Yeah, we're not personally.
No, but I mean, we work
sometimes
at it.
We
work at it.
And
I mean,
think
we
stress,
wake up and we say, you know, to, you know, count it all joy.
Right, because first off, I'll tell you what, the two things those people don't worry about, they're not worried about staying up late to get their thing done, you know?
Whatever that thing is. Right.
You know, they have their body is in a natural flow mm-hmm. with their life.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about that in the future, about their lifestyle.
And also the circadian rhythm, maybe.
Yeah.
That's what we're finding out in our sleep
book. Exactly. So it's lifestyle, isn't it? Lifestyle completely. So anyway, we've been all over the map a little bit today, but it's been a fun show.
It's been fun.
And so let's go to our Facebook page at Christine Marie and Julie. Like us, please. Go to our Amazon. Get our book, The Clutterfly Effect. We got a lot of things in the pipeline.
Yeah, we got some major stuff coming down.
And check out Chris Luck at chrisluck.com or on Facebook at Chris Luck. And Mom, how did the show today?
It was great.